It's the Let's Go Eat and Drink Show with hosts Jimmy Santangelo and Bill Allred. Let's go eat. I'm your announcer, Zach Caton, and we're coming to you live on tape from Simplicity Cocktails, 335 West, 1830 South, in the shopping plaza just south of Costco. Our guests today are Chris and Becca Weed, who, along with Chad Linville, founded Simplicity.
Holy shit, we just made it. I see where this is going.
Yeah. So, get really, stay close to the mic. You're sort of a soft-spoken fellow, so keep close
handsome
to the microphone.
At the same time, though, right?
Goddamn handsome. You are a goddamn handsome man. There is no doubt about it. The touch of gray at the temple. I've been looking at you. I'm sorry, Becca.
That's Bill does come from a theater background.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. And now, here are your hosts, Jimmy and Bill.
And then we'll get to having cocktails, as that's what I'm here for.
Well, hurry it up.
As simple cocktails. I'm sorry. I just want a simple cocktail, that's all.
That's it.
But I want to find out about Simplicity Cocktail. That's where we're hanging out today on the Let's Go Eat show, Let's Go Eat and Drink show. Simplicity Cocktail, where are we located? We're by Costco, I know that. What's the address?
335 South, 1830.
We're by
just a chance. Yeah. Yeah.
No.
It's like multiple addresses.
This is your store, Chris.
Yep. Yeah, I should know that, right?
Smell for the barbecue. The Let the barbecue wafting next door lead you.
Or isn't there a Hawaiian place next? Is that Mo better? Yeah. I've never had that stuff. Is that the Hawaiian place? It is, Jimmy.
They're super busy, all the time.
Yeah. My girlfriend's a vegetarian, so basically that makes me a vegetarian. It's a line from Pulp Fiction.
Oh, I see. I gotcha. Anyway, we're here at Simplicity Cocktail. It's in that shopping area just to the south of Costco, and we're with the two of the founders of Simplicity Cocktail, Chris Weed and Becca Weed. Are you guys related?
He's my other half.
Oh, I see. Okay.
She's the better half. I'm the other half.
I love
the bearded half.
Yes. No, she does not have a beard. Just you got to paint the picture. It's Chris who has the beard, and it's quite a substantial beard.
It's coming in.
This is about as good as mine will ever do, I think.
That's it.
Yeah. But I'm looking more eccentric every day.
That Colonel Mustard thing going on. Yeah. The Colonel.
You say distinguished.
Yeah.
I think it's eccentric. You look distinguished though. That's a massive, like that's Appreciate a Brigham that. Young beard.
I could use a different comparison, but I'll let it slide. Although he did under the celery too, I think.
Yes, he
one
did.
One time.
The Valley Tan.
Let's talk a little bit about how this thing got going, Simplicity Cocktail. I like the description on your bio here, your one sheet. Late night drinks on a barge in France. That sounds so lovely.
Sounds awesome.
Business school pals. Who was it? Was it you and Chad?
Yeah. Yep.
So where'd you go to business school?
Westminster.
Okay. Here in town. You got all the local boys, both?
Yep.
Okay.
He grew up in Indiana, Chicago area, moved here in high school, and then did college here and stayed afterwards.
So you go on a trip after school, you go to the bar, a barge of grass. Let's start a distillery. Okay. Tell me about that.
I mean, what good ideas don't start over pitchers and pitchers of beer on a boat? So we were just late night. I was with my group of people, friends, and then we ran into his group of people and friends, and we brought two groups together and ended up on a barge in Lyon. Had a good night. Some people had too much of a good night and couldn't present the next morning.
Were you there?
I was not.
And then we realized that we both were looking to do something more entrepreneurial. We both got into the business school for that kind of guidance. And you see two different types of people that go into business school. One that are checking boxes to get their resume and just move up, but a lot of golden guys there. And then the other group of trying to understand business and how they can improve and what they can do and get that.
And start their own
spirit.
Stuff, rather than go work for somebody.
Yep.
So it was always the goal, I'm going to not work for somebody else, I'm going to start my own thing, and I'm not sure what it is, but then now it ends up being cocktails. Why did you decide on distilling?
We went back and forth, like with what business students do. We threw out a bunch of ideas for business models, what we liked, what we didn't, and then we came to realize that a lot of them were very boring, and we both had a background in homebrew, liked the brewing industry. Chad coincidentally had been really close to starting a brewery up in Idaho Falls, and his partner then at the time kind of fell through. He didn't want to sign a 5-year contract. It was too long of a relationship. Yeah. So, you know, we talked about, Beck and I had been talking about doing a brewery here, and we, for better or worse, decided that wasn't the right time to market. And, you know, we've gotten more breweries since then, and they've done really well, but we didn't. Yeah, well, that's hopeful.
Somebody, I think they somebody had the figure yesterday. There are 38 or something like that breweries in Salt Lake.
Yeah, that's substantial.
It's a lot.
More
yeah.
distilleries.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's breweries, distilleries, wineries, I would imagine, in terms of quantity.
And then it says you you decided gin. Why gin specifically?
Gin, we were, similar to brewing, if you look back at craft brewing, they look to not be the, I think it's... Stone in San Diego, it said, you know, fizzy yellow beer is for wussies, and you know, they're trying to differentiate from just regular mm-hmm. bland beer. Mm-hmm. So if we're trying to differentiate from the masses of the booze, how do we do that? And gin is there's a lot of corollary with gin and craft beer, which you see a lot of like wild styles in craft that attract people's attention. I know Shades gets a line of people for their special releases, so we thought gin could be something like that. And so we kind of started dipping our toe in the water, and Beck and I would host what we called gin school on Sundays, where we'd not distill gin and other things at, on Sundays, and as we were playing with it pre business plan, and then we started doing tours, and you know, like we've been all over Scotland, Spain, et cetera, testing, and we actually really, really got to like gin, settled on that, and then we were at a Red Butte concert making gin and tonics that kind of defined what kind of gin we liked. Mm-hmm. And we were bottling them back in the Fever Tree bottles and capping them because we had our beer cappers from the beer days. Like, holy shit, we just made it ready to drink.
I see where this is going. Yeah.
So, get really, stay close to the mic. You're sort of a soft-spoken fellow, so keep close
handsome
to the microphone.
At the same time, though, right?
Goddamn handsome. You are a goddamn handsome man. There's no doubt about it. The touch of gray at the temple. I've been looking at you. I'm sorry, Becca.
It's Bill okay. does come from a theater background.
Yeah,
so
that's right. So gin is something that you can customize easily customize.
Yep.
And find unusual things. And then when did you start doing, commercial retail and all of that?
We kind of grew into it. And you want to cover that?
Sure. Yeah. So we launched in 2018. And then we had our first, when we first launched, we had a co-packer that allowed us to get into the business with our ready-to-drink canned cocktails. And then we opened up our first brick and mortar in 2020. And then we opened up this, our second location, which is much more retail-focused, mm-hmm. allows classes and tastings in 2023.
It's this must be a pretty sizable capital investment. To do something like this, I don't know where you begin. Do you have to find backers and things like that, or are you independently wealthy?
You find the devil first, then you sell your soul, and then from there it's all butter. No, we're all it's self-funded. Mm-hmm. We're trying to keep everything. We want to make sure that we've got a set business plan. We have a lot of people that are interested, and you know, friends and family will ask, like, can we put money in? And we don't feel right until we make sure we've got something really secure that we can build with. So we're all entirely self-funded.
If you can keep it that way, I mean, that's the great. Although someday, you know, when you have your empire, and, somebody wants to come in and say, why don't I just make you a wealthy retiree? That might be good, too.
Here's my bank account number.
Yeah. it's simplicity.
All this can be yours and more.
And then I like this line. We decided to expand our views beyond gin. That's a great line. It really is. Rebecca, how did you guys expand your views beyond gin?
Sure. Yeah. So with all of the travel, a lot of research and development, so a lot of sampling. You know, booze is fun, but it's also like, it's like cooking, you know, I mean, you get a dabble in so many different areas and you, when you break down a certain botanical or fruit or something, it just, you are able to explore so many different things. And mm-hmm. so one of our recent products is a limoncello, and Chris and I had spent some time in Italy, and it was one of those things we just kind of put on the list that it would be fun to make a limoncello one day, you know, and there's a lot of work that goes into making limoncellos. limoncellos.
Explain to people what a limoncello is.
Sure. Limoncello is...
It's something Danny DeVito loves, I know.
He's got his own business, too.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
I remember he was drunk on The View or something one time, and he was like, it's limoncello.
Yeah, we'll have to share the first time Chris had limoncello, too.
No, Chris says no. But what is limoncello?
Limoncello, it's a liqueur. It's based on like lemon peels, vodka, and sugar. So while it sounds rather simple, there's so much work that goes into it. The last batch that we just did, you know, it took over 1,000 different lemons. And so you're hand washing lemons, you're peeling lemons. Mm-hmm. And then we...
of course, you have staff to do that, right?
Not so much. We wear a lot of hats here. So, from, you know, creation to manufacturing, we're pretty much involved. But limoncello is very bright. It's, it's sun-kissed, if you will. Like, it's delicious. You can taste the natural lemon oils and peels that come through. Ethanol pulls so much flavor. So ethanol is really fun to work with because whatever the fruit or the botanical or the whatever you're trying to distill, it's going to pull that flavor through.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that sentence. Ethanol is fun to work with.
Usually it's ethanol is fun to use.
Mm-hmm. So you've made limoncello. What else have you expanded beyond the gin? What else have you done?
We have bourbon cream. Which is
bourbon cream?
Yes.
And what's bourbon? Is it like Irish cream? Is it like
exactly?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we've partnered with King's Peak to add a little bit of their espresso to the base. It also has like a little bit of almonds, chocolate,
vanilla,
and it's quite delicious. It's you can drink it like on the rocks. You don't necessarily need to just drink it in coffee. Mm-hmm. And you can make a really fun dirty soda with bourbon cream.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. My ex-wife, Bailey's, Bailey's and coffee, man. She loved that. Bailey's Irish cream. Mm. So how many products does Simplicity Cocktail have? And did you start out with the idea we're gonna can this stuff? Was that originally in the plan?
Originally, just we were looking at being the gin distillery, and then we found that it was as canned cocktails were coming around. It was right at that moment that we had the Red Butte of making the pre-mixed G&Ts, mm-hmm. And then we seen the opportunity, so we really expanded. And we say we're Utah's first canned cocktail company. Beehive did launch their own line, and we were coming out at the same time. They got theirs on the shelves first, but we were set up as just a canned cocktail company, and this location helps us expand into the spirits. So we have to our right here, we have two of our smaller stills that we'll be distilling some of our product with. We've got another 500.
You can distill right here?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So we'll be doing classes here like we were talking about before. You can come in, distill your own. We'll be producing in the back here as well. But we just kind of, we've grown into the distilling outside of just the cans. But cans are a very unique medium that allow us to get our products in a lot of places that you can't take glass. And we like to say it's for all of the ings, camping, biking, hiking, swimming, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah.
Everywhere you can't have glass, we lounging. Enable people. Yeah.
I like the lounging. And
lounging, yes.
Drinking. Yeah, I have bought some of your, just the canned bourbon. And tell me about that, because it's fascinating to me. Who developed that? That lid on the canned bourbon. That's really interesting.
That comes from a company called Exo Lids. And I think their first big product was Monster Energy Drinks. But as we're trying to find a platform to put booze in, basically, and other like spirits in, we tried finding all these different methods. And it's interesting, a lot of these alternative closure methods come out of the cannabis industry. So I was at a cannabis conference in California, and they had one that's like a big metal screw cap. That was fine, but we came across this, and it fits our canning line perfectly. So, match made in heaven. We had to retrofit our canning line a little bit, And next thing you know, we're the first that we're aware of in the U.S. that's canning spirits with a resealable lid.
It works great. It's 100 proof bourbon, which I don't like to mess with anything that's under 100 proof. I just won't. There's no point, you know.
You have your limits.
I have standards, damn it. There's a charter, a poster here on the wall. You have a lot of products. Is that all of them?
No, that particular one is a little bit dated. We've got, I don't think the bourbon cream's up there even. Yeah, we've continually to expand. We're building out our agave spirits portfolio. We have to say agave because we don't distill it here, but we have a partner in Mexico that makes real tequila. We're working on the IP to allow us to use the word tequila, and then we'll be developing some of our own, you know, agave base, but I could go down a whole tangent here on tequila agave versus like some of the other agaves you get. You know, the piña itself adds so much flavor. So long story short, that's why we partnered with the brand in Mexico mm-hmm. to ship us that, because it's got a distinctly different flavor. So we're expanding that line of agave products. We're trying to expand our bourbon. We've got some other ideas now that we have this space and the traffic. We're going to play with ice creams, other things like... We've got a lot of ideas that we want to do here can only happen because the state's not going to put them in. So we're going to have them here with the people can come by at Costco, and we like to say Costco and cocktails.
Yeah.
Or Costco and.
Yes, yeah. I like that. I like that idea a lot. Let's talk a little bit about, I think, now this is clever. There's a, you've apparently partnered with Cool Brand Clothing.
Yep.
Which is a local outdoor clothing company that's been around for quite a long time. What is that? A Cool Mule? Is that what?
Yeah, and Cool is an interesting, very involved brand. We worked with the CEO and some of his team on developing it, but they like to brand just about the entire experience. So they have cool chocolates that they give out. Mm. They've got cool beer. I think it was with Uinta, and now it's Melvin Brewing. And they wanted a spirit as well, a spirit-based mm-hmm. drink. So we started with our Moscow Mule, and then we iterated from there something more to their liking. So it's less sugar, slightly higher ABV, and just a little bit more spice. Mm. And that fits the profile they're looking for.
And you distill gin here. But you don't distill anything else, right?
We distill the limoncello and the gin here, and then we source our bourbon and our vodka.
Okay. And they're just a great plethora of products here, and bottled products as well. If you like the canned bourbon, you can buy I did buy a big bottle of it one time. And vodkas, and it's beautifully designed stuff. How to talk about the labeling and who does that?
That would be me.
Yeah. Do you have a background in graphic design? And
No, but in marketing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, graduated from University of Utah in marketing and worked for marketing advertising agencies for over mm-hmm. a decade or so ago. And mm-hmm. part of the experience that we want to offer kind of rolls up to the overall brand of simplicity and keeping things simple. And while it's a very high quality product in every single one of our bottles or cans, there's this simplified story that we want to communicate.
I understand. And this is interesting too.
These are fun packages.
Yeah, talk about the decision to do this tall, thin can as opposed to a beer can sized can.
And while we do that, do you want to pop one of those and do you want us to taste a little bit of it? Should we do that?
I'm all for that.
Okay. Which one, Chris, should we do? Yeah. I can do that and pass it around.
Whichever one's the coldest, yeah. But talk about I think I know the answer, but why did you decide to go with the tall or slim? It's the same amount of a beverage, but it's just tall, thin.
Sure. So we were definitely leaning to go towards the standard. You know, like everything is meant for the standard 12-ounce can. And then we did a blind test with a sample audience where we're like, okay, if you're drinking a cocktail, what would you prefer? Prefer this sleeker, mm-hmm. tall can? If you're drinking it out of the can, what would you prefer? And everyone was leaning towards the sleek can because it stood out. So they wanted something different. They didn't want the standard,
beer can, 12 ounce or squatty.
Yep.
And you can, I thought the answer was going to be, it's because you can pack more of them in your backpack easier than, you know, it's space kind of thing.
Space was part of our decision of why we canned the bourbon and why we canned the vodka. When you're camping, two of those cans almost equals a bottle. Mm-hmm. And when you're trying to shove like a bottle of booze into your cooler, space is limited. And so two cans fits. And then when you're done camping, you've probably drank it all. So you don't need to worry about it.
Yeah. Now we're tasting the bourbon mule, which is like a Moscow mule, but it's a bourbon and ginger beer. And anything else? Anything else in it?
A little bit of lemon, a little bit of lime.
Yeah, a little bit of lemon.
But there's something there. It's the premium bourbon mule. What is that?
This is that bourbon we have that you enjoy.
The 100 proof.
Yep, and it ranges between 55% and 66%.
Wow.
So you'll note on our label that it says barrel strength. We don't prove it down or anything. When it comes out just like anything else at different strengths. So the latest batch we did is at 60.3% actually.
You can taste it.
I'll bet.
Take your breath away.
Yeah.
It lends really well to this cocktail with having the strong bourbon flavor comes through, and that's what we really wanted.
And let's talk a little bit before we get too far down the road, and then we'll go to Splash of News and classes. Talk about classes, what kind of things you do here at Simplicity Cocktail, what sort of, you know, talk about that and how people get involved.
Sure. So we've actually partnered with Jim on several classes this coming fall and winter, and we dive into...
You mean Jimmy Santangelo, the proprietor of WineAcademyOfUtah.com?
The one in the same.
Thank you.
Oh, that guy.
Yes.
Right, oh, that guy. Right there. Yeah, that I think guy. I know him.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for that.
So we, just to clarify.
Yes, I appreciate that. Yes, so we have several classes coming up. We dive into our limoncello. We dive into our bourbon cream, our bourbon. There's also some kind of component tasting where we break down, the difference between a Moscow mule or a bourbon mule and get to kind of taste the different layers of, all right, here's vodka, now here's bourbon, and how much that influences the cocktail itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been really fun to be able to educate the audience and just kind of explore different palettes.
And then Chris, you were telling me about this before we began. Talk about this. This is a little still on a table over here, and maybe we can get a picture of it before we leave. And tell me about what you do there.
Yeah, so we're really excited about this, and it goes back to we're gin nerds because we can do so much. We want to be able to offer this space for a few reasons. One, the retail, it's nice to be able to see a lot more customers, but second, for the experience. So half of this room you can see is dedicated to the tables, the chairs, and this is our classroom, like Becca's highlighting. But this one we're really excited for is that it's a do-it-yourself or make your own gin class. So that it's a nano still. It's 1 liter total capacity. So you'll come in, you pour in a bottle of vodka, basically pick out your botanicals. We walk you through the different flavors. You can sample them, give you a recommendation for what ratios you want to put in to not overpower. I had a friend ask, like, you know, does any of this actually turn out, or is it just horrible gin? Like, well, that's why we have that's the value we add, right? We're giving you the education. And so you'll be able to walk out after about 2 hours, somewhere between an hour and a half, 2 hours, with your own bottle of gin that you write your name on and all the different ingredients. It's distinctly your own gin.
That's
no one
cool.
else in the world has this.
That's cool. I'm gonna come and do that sometime. That's really. But so is it just one person per class? Or
what? We have six of those stills, and you can do. We like to joke that you can do corporate events where you can argue about if you want to pair up on one, or you can test your marriage strength if you want to argue for the best gin.
Great team building activity.
Yeah, you're gonna learn real quick, and so we're playing those other ideas. But right now we have six of those stills,
That's
great. Then we think we can have. You can have two. You can even have
1,000
three,
really. ML. In there.
Yep.
Wow.
That's
really awesome.
Yeah.
It's got your brand on it.
Yep.
Did you develop this?
No. Do we find it? So this still here, and actually it's New World up in Eden has the same brand of stills. I still, it's a Dutch brand. They're just outside of Amsterdam. What we like about these is they're robotic. These are the these ones themselves are not the one that's coming as very robotic. So it's very repeatable. Mm-hmm. So you can get the same results over and over. And we've been very happy with their products. And this is something they came out with for some of their customers doing gen class globally. Like, we love the idea. We wanted to do it. This makes sense and it stays on brand. So, I mean, we've got a family, which I have to tell you. So this one right here is Theodore. Is that your biggest one? The one coming will be 500 mil. This is 50 or sorry, liters in that mil. So Theo and his older brother is Vincent, the Van Gogh brothers.
I see.
Uh-huh. They're Dutch. And now then we got Eddie Van Halen and the little one over there.
Oh, okay. All right. And you know, Wolfgang just got married.
Wolfgang
got married. It's Simplicity Cocktail, and if people want to take classes, they can go through wineacademyofutah.com.
Yeah, we direct you right over, but it's your website.
Yep, yeah. drinksimplicity.com/classes.
Drinksimplicity.com, and then you have to put, I am 21 years of age or older to go into this website, so...
Yep.
So don't lie.
Please don't lie.
Yeah, don't lie. All right, Jimmy Santangelo, is it time for a splash of news?
Yeah, we do. We have a splash of news, two stories here. I just got to say, that was great. Thank you, guys. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
Love that product, and maybe we can try that premium, because I didn't realize you were doing a higher proof to then for the same, so that would be a heck of a comparison.
Is it cold?
Musical and fun packaging for the holidays as well, for the Halloween thing coming up. Anyway, sorry, splash of news. Jack Daniel's tweaks its brand from bland to exclusive. The New York Times reports that the Tennessee whiskey, long snubbed by connoisseurs and collectors.
I've always thought that Old Number 7 was shitty bourbon. Yeah, I can't
a lot
stand
of people
it.
Agree. And it's suddenly grabbing the attention with a series of special releases. Even as Jack Daniel's retains its position as one of the highest volume whiskey brands in the world, in 2022 it sold 14.6 million 9-liter cases.
That's because of rock and roll stars.
That's right.
Janis Joplin and,
It's true.
Yeah.
Almost all of that sales was the Old Number 7 that you're referring to. The distillery has been quietly remaking its image to attract a more discerning crowd. Okay. It seems to be working, because check this out. The company's special releases, which vary in style from year to year, age statements, varying the char levels of barrels, the proof statements from barrel strength to bottle and bond releases, are so coveted that people have been known to camp out in front of liquor stores the night before they arrive. One such example is the release of Sinatra Select, named after Frank Sinatra's love of the whiskey. The 2015 release became a collector's item and now sells for as much as $4,000 a bottle at auction.
I think a lot of it has to do with, I saw pictures of the bottles. They just classy, elegant designed bottles and labels and things like that. I'm not convinced the whiskey has improved much. I haven't tried it, so I don't know. But
well, Jack Daniel's has that classic Number 7, that mm-hmm. classic square,
yeah,
square shoulder, and then it comes up. These are basically squatted down, still that square, but a thicker glass. Looks like it's melting a little bit.
They look
bit.
Great.
Yeah, they look great.
Yeah, I'd have to sample it to know for sure, but I think a lot of it has to do with image and
the pudding.
I mean, a lot of it does have to do with image and how you write the story and put what the story you put on the label. And,
exactly.
Yeah. It's just amazing.
Good stuff. Next story, canned cocktails grow up. The complex, natural, not-too-sweet drinks are on the rise. Story by the Wall Street Journal reports that people are saying, quote, goodbye to the overly sweet wine cooler clones of yesteryear, end quote. The new wave of canned cocktails and mocktails offer sophisticated flavors and natural ingredients to satisfy both cocktail aficionados and the eco-conscious. As canned cocktails gain ground on liquor store shelves and in coolers around the country, for the most part, they've been sweet, juicy, and a little too close to comfort to the cloying wine coolers of old. A new generation of canned cocktails focus on complexity using natural herbs, citrus fruits, and other exotic flavors. On a personal note, the focus of quality and ingredients, focus on flavor and balance, and mere convenience of a quick chill and portability, canned cocktails are here to stay. Seek out your favorite, local or otherwise, and buy them today.
How many canned cocktails are locally done? Do you know? There's you and
Ogden Zone. Beehive
is the one I see most.
Sugar House.
Yep.
So everybody's. Sugar House is doing
might
it.
Might be a fifth one
salt
out there.
Salt Flats.
Oh yeah, Salt Flats.
Mm-hmm. Oh yep. yeah.
Is are you guys distillers? Are you guys like the brewers? I think. See, I'm a radio guy, and you know, we do a morning show, and we hate any other morning show that's on the air. We hate them. They're our enemies.
Because they all suck.
Well, they do fucking suck, and we want to kill them as soon as possible. But I and drive them out of town if necessary. But the brewers are. You know, they're all buddies, you know. I think there's a friendly competition there, but they're all buddies. Same thing with the distillers?
Yeah. We don't participate in the Distillers Guild yet. Just too busy, and they're still kind of getting their shit together. Mm-hmm. This all comes, we work with Jimmy over at Sugar House on a bunch of things, and he's kind of been taking the lead and keeping us involved, but we just haven't engaged. There's a lot of friendly, there's some... unfriendly times as well, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I think the brewers have a much more tight relationship, and the distillers are trying to grow into that.
Yeah. I think it's just fascinating to me, that culture. Now, you've got the flashcards, James.
I do. Shall I read them?
Sure.
All right.
That means I will have to answer.
What I have here are a series of wine flashcards, beverage flashcards. I have three. One's on vocabulary, the other's wild card, and grape. You will not be graded. And these were the fun flashcards I would do at a pre-shift to keep staff from stop doing the church nod during pre-shift, like, you know, just trying to keep awake. Here's a question, true false. Port and sherry are both fortified wine.
False.
True or false?
False.
True, I think.
Yep. Yeah, so fortified means that you're adding alcohol to them. They are both fortified. Mm-hmm. True, port and sherry are made from different grapes and in different countries, but they are both fortified, meaning that alcohol or distilled grape spirit are added.
So port is made in Portugal and sherry is made in Sherryland.
In Spain.
You had me going.
In Cherto.
Yeah.
Jerez, Spain, in the southern tip down there.
All right.
But yeah, I wanted to get a little distillate kind of bring in. See how I pick these cards?
Yeah, nice. Tied together.
Fun? Wild card question. True or false? Sniffing the cork gives you a good sense of the wine. True or false?
False.
That's right.
False, yeah.
So this was the fun thing about presenting a wine as a sommelier. Us as guests, when we order a wine, like, what are we supposed to do with this cork? This is where it comes from. In the days when the authenticity of a bottle was more suspect, it was important to see the wine uncorked at the table and to verify the brand on the cork. Mm. Now everyone behaves. And smelling the cork can be misleading. At times, a cork will look and smell awful or just like cork, and yet the wine will be perfectly fine.
Yep, smells like cork, all right.
Smells like cork, all right.
I hope the wine doesn't taste like cork.
Here's a grape question. Which of the following likely describes a wine made from Viognier grapes?
Okay.
So if you ever heard of Viognier grapes, think if it's a red or a white wine. If it's a white wine, Viognier. A, grapefruit and grass, blackberry cedar, perfumey peaches, orange blossom, or astringent cherry and plum. Grapefruit grass.
I would say. I would say A.
Perfumey.
I'm going A.
A. Yeah. Yeah.
I'd say the last one.
Last one. Astringent cherry and plum. It's so grapefruit and grass. A would be a characteristic of Sauvignon Blanc. Mm-hmm. Blackberry and cedar, typically Cab Sav. Astringent cherry and plum, that will probably be more like the astringent of acidity. That would be like a Sangiovese or Chianti. Mm. C, perfumey peaches, orange, blossom. That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
we all said C, didn't we?
Good thing we can edit and cut and paste. Well, that's your not only splashy news, but
are we wrapping it up then?
Cards. I think so.
It's been a pleasure being here at Simplicity Cocktail. Two locations now. I've only been to this one in South Salt Lake. I guess it is. This is South Salt Lake, isn't it?
Salt Lake.
Or is it just Salt Lake? Yep. And it's just south of the Costco. The address is 335 West, 1830 South. You guys are open on Sundays, which is good because, oh, crap, I'm out of bourbon. I can come to Simplicity Cocktail and don't have to worry about the liquor store.
Yep.
Great also, thing about being a package store.
Exactly. Yep. It also works for restaurants as well, you know, if they find themselves where they're like, I'm out of vodka or something, they can come pick that up here.
And where's your other location?
It's a West Salt Lake. It's about as far west as you can go, West Salt Lake. But we've turned that more into just keeping our production located.
Okay.
Now.
All right. Thanks a lot for having us here. It's been terrific. I'm sorry we didn't get to meet your other partner, Chad Linville. But Chris Weed and Becca Weed, a handsome couple and a very a really nice host. Thank you very much, Simplicity Cocktail. We'll be back again, I'm sure. I want to thank, I'm going to give you the opportunity. You want to ask us any questions? You can ask one question.
I like this, yeah.
If you want. You can ask one question if you want. And you don't need to be ashamed or embarrassed or anything. Just, do you have a question? You look like you have a question.
I'm pondering.
Yeah? You don't have to. Is it too much? I should have warned you at the beginning. Be thinking if you want to ask us a question.
I probably already know the answer to this, mm-hmm. Bill, but what is your favorite drink after noon?
After noon, my favorite drink? I probably just go to Bourbon on the Rocks. And my, like, after 12 noon, that's like 5 o'clock in the evening for most people because of my hours. I work.
Sure.
I get up at 3 in the morning and start, you know, working. And so I can start having cocktails at, you know, noon, 1, and not feel bad about it. So probably I just go to Bourbon, and then I'll switch, maybe have a martini before dinner, and, you know. But not every day, just most days.
Every day that ends in day.
Yeah, it's every day that ends in day. Yes. Any question from you?
Oh, I'm trying to keep it PG.
You don't have to.
No.
Yeah. You don't have
to swear.
And I'm not easily embarrassed, although I am sometimes embarrassed.
Oh. Yeah. Jimmy, with all your experience, what is your go-to beverage?
Oh, my mm-hmm. go-to is actually coffee.
Yeah, fair enough.
Probably. I see him with a cup of coffee more than anything.
More than not, yeah. No, I always wanted to write a book about, you know how you can identify a dog owner in the park, and the dog and the owner, they're like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
They look like
each other.
Yeah, I think there should be a book out there for wine in that, and, mm-hmm. and for that. That for me would be a Rhone red. It's a blend of grapes, bringing all kinds of grapes. They play well in the sandbox with a number of diverse different styles of grapes, and I feel that that reflects me. So if I were to sit down and really think, and I had all the wines out there, I think I would reach for that. And those are the reasons.
And for those of you who are listening and might want to ask us a question, you can do it. Ask us anything. You can just send it to the Let's Go Eat Show at gmail.com. Thanks to Doug Wild for doing our theme song. Thanks to Dawson Dow for being the producer of the show. And thanks to Zach Catton, or Caton, I can't ever remember. Zach C. for being our announcer. That's it. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Let's Go Eat and Drink Show with Jimmy Santangelo and Bill Allred. Comments, questions, or angry complaints to the management should be directed to the Let's Go Eat Show at gmail.com. The Let's Go Eat and Drink Show is produced by Dawson Dow. Our theme music was composed and recorded by Doug Wild. Recording facilities, as needed, are by the Visit Salt Lake Media Center, www.visitsaltlake.com. The show is a Double Plus production. I'm Zach Caton. So long, and sayonara, suckers. But I can't do what you're saying, 'cause you got food to go.